Blog Talk Radio.
All right, you guys ready to go?
Yes.
I am.
All right.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati, you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. And we have a great show for you today, and if you want to call in and ask questions, you can call in right now at 323-870-3857. And we'll be here till about 8:30 or 9 tonight. And today, we're going to talk about, Beeb, what else? The big news, man. Floyd Mayweather, Logan Paul. Huh? I mean, come on. This is huge, right?
Yeah.
Come on, Beeb.
Got your hat.
I almost bought one of those. So as soon as this was done, he had like a hat, and it says gotcha hat. He's selling for like $25 though. I was like, I'm not going to pay that much for it.
Mine's already on order.
Yours is on order. Did you give me one too?
Yeah, I got you one.
Nice. I knew it. I knew I could depend on you, son. The numbers for Chris Areola and Andy Ruiz are in, and we'll let you know what they are. The pay-per-view numbers, kind of respectable. We like it. But right now, before we talk about anything else, we have Ty Short Fuse Tomlin with us, undefeated lightweight. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. How about yourselves?
We're doing great, man. We're doing great. So now you're fighting next Friday. You're fighting a guy named Tyrone Lucky, right?
Yeah, on May 14th. Yeah.
May 14th?
Yeah, I just signed with DiBella, and they brought the date up to us. It was about a four-week training camp, but we always try to stay in shape, ready to go. So we took it, and, I'm excited about it. Ready to get to work.
That's awesome. Now, this is your first eight-rounder, correct?
I have been one eight-rounder.
Have you been one eight-rounder?
I did. I went to a unanimous decision in that one and won every round. And I had one more scheduled, but I got the guy out of there in the first round, so I wouldn't. But this is definitely going to be a good one. I know he just went with Frank Martin, took him five or six rounds deep. So I'm expecting a good fight.
Now, this guy's got like 30 fights, right? I mean, he's experienced. I mean, he's got a lot of experience under his belt. Now, you have 10 fights. You have six by KO. How do you prepare for a guy like this? I mean, knowing that he has a lot of experience, he could be cagey, could be. What do you know about him, and what do you kind of prepare for?
Yeah, you just have to be prepared for everything. Like you said, the guy's got a lot of experience. He's seen so many different looks. So I'm going to go out there in the first round, see what he's going to give me, and I'm just going to capitalize on that. I know he's a rangy fighter, likes to use his jab, so I'm just going to sit down in front of him and counterpunch every chance I get. And put some of that punching power on him and see how he reacts to it.
So, all right. And so this is on UFC, the UFC TV call, right? That's how we can watch it on UFC TV. UFC Fight Pass. That's what I was looking for.
This one, my fight isn't going to make it on UFC Fight Pass. It'll be my first one with DiBella. I'm going to have a lot of different TV opportunities coming up.
Yeah.
This one actually isn't. It's going to be a more hometown fight for me, though, so I'm going to get to have my fans there. About an hour away from my hometown. I'm excited to have all of them there. The UFC Fight Pass portion, it's an all-women's fight. I'm kind of a special attraction deal, so I'm really excited.
You're the special attraction on the women.
Yeah, I know.
That's not a bad deal. You're around a bunch of ladies, man. That's not a bad deal at all.
Hey, never a bad deal to be around a bunch of women.
That's right, man. That's right.
when you first came up, you were working full-time along with your boxing. You were doing both training and working full-time. I believe now, are you still working part-time now, or are you – since you signed with DiBella, have you taken on boxing full-time now? Have you switched that up a little bit?
I'm working part-time still. Just my father runs a business. I'm helping him where I can. I'm not putting a lot of hours in like I was. I was doing 40-plus hour weeks and just very strenuous work. So I've cut down on that a lot, and I'm really focusing on boxing and learning the sweet science a lot more than I was then.
Now, when you were working full-time, how difficult was that trying to juggle the boxing with the work? And did you feel like you were spreading yourself too thin? were you getting tired? Obviously, you must have been getting tired, but how strenuous was that on your body, mentally and physically?
Oh, my gosh. Mentally, like you said, it was a big one just because, you know, you have all these things coming up, and like you said, you're trying to spread yourself too thin, but you would wake up at 6 in the morning, you go work all day doing strenuous work. I mean, I'd be digging ditches, laying pipe, everything else, then come home dirty, take a shower, and I'm right back in the gym working hard. It was very hard to balance it all. It kind of makes me appreciate what I've got more, what I've got now a little bit more, though, which I think is good. But it was definitely difficult. I was in school at that time, too. I finished up my associate's degree, so I had zero free time, no free time.
Absolutely.
That can be hard for some people 19, 20 years old. But I just put my head down and got through it all, and I think it made me a better person at the end of the day.
Now, when you were going from promoter to promoter during these events and you didn't have a deal signed, you still got a lot of fights in. How hard was it to hustle to get these fights without having that promoter full-time?
Oh, it was definitely difficult. We have a local promoter, Matt Young, that we used a lot with TriStar Boxing. He was always on top of it. We sell a lot of tickets, so he always wanted us on. But we've had a lot of help through guys like Will Hunter, guys in Tampa, Florida, Biloxi. You know, they always wanted us on their shows, so I'm very thankful to them. But it was difficult just to stay so busy. In the beginning of your career, it's kind of a big thing to go ahead and get some of those first fights out of the way before you make it to opportunities. But we stayed very busy over the first 2 years.
Now, you know, with all due respect, when people look at, like, Tennessee, they don't really think of boxing.
Right.
But is Tennessee, does it have a big following for boxing? I've never really thought there was, but is there one there now, and is it increasing? Do you notice it, like, that it's boxing starting to heat up in Tennessee?
Oh, yeah, I think it's turned into a boxing state, you know, with Caleb coming through, Austin Dulé is another big one out in Hendersonville and a foreign partner of mine. Then the fan base I've built, you know, everything kind of comes together, and we pack these shows out. So I think, like I said, it's really becoming a boxing state, and Nashville being the entertainment industry anyways, I think it all adds together.
So do me a favor and describe your style. For anybody who hasn't seen you fight yet, describe your style.
I think I'm a boxer-puncher. I do want to sit back and sit down on my punches and be technical, but a lot of times I don't know, I'll find myself in a fight every now and then. Not always a good thing. I've got all the attributes needed to take you to the next level, though. I've got the speed. I've got the power. Right now, as a young professional, I'm just trying to become a better boxer, sit back and learn.
Do you find it hard? And Beeb had mentioned, you know, about being in Tennessee and the boxing there and everything. Do you find it hard to find sparring partners there? I mean, as far as that would take you to the next level, you know, like next level type of sparring partners?
Yeah, that one's definitely a difficult one for us. We've got a great group of guys around here that we do spar with. But, yeah, the harder you spar, the easier fights are. So we've had to start traveling for some of that sparring. We've traveled out to places like Houston. We want to go out to Philadelphia, places like that. I know we're going to New York and flying out to Las Vegas soon. So you got to spar those high-level guys if you want to be high-level. So that's definitely been a problem for us.
For sure, for sure. And now that you're signed with DiBella right now, correct? And so now do you expect – how often would you like to fight now? I mean, because I would imagine that your fights are going to get – that you won't have to hustle as much to get your fights now that you have a promoter, somebody working with you and for you and everything like that, on a little bit higher stage, I guess, like a national stage. How often do you want to fight?
If I had to guess, I'm going to be fighting about 3 times a year. I might sprinkle in one more. So, you know, that's a slower rate than we've been fighting. We've done about 5 or 6 a year right now. And it'll be good to slow down and really get better, go get that better sparring, like you said. And three, which I think is what the minimum is in the contract, I'll be happy about that.
Wow, that's great. Talk to me a little bit about this. Now, I read this, and maybe I read it wrong. I'm not sure exactly what your role is. Do you talk to local schools about, like, drug issues and that kind of thing, or about, like, staying away? And talk to me a little about that.
Yeah, that's a program that we're just getting started with all of our local law enforcement agencies and everything else. I've had family that have had problems with that. I actually had a cousin that passed away and overdosed that I was pretty close to. And it's just a big problem around here. There's so many great people that are affected by it. And hopefully I can get into school soon. I know COVID has kind of stopped me from doing some of that. So especially this next school year, we'll be in the schools talking and just trying to spread awareness and letting everybody know what kind of issues we've got going on around here and just trying to be a positive influence.
How did you get into that?
Well, it's something that they kind of reached out to me, and especially with my personal ties to it, it's something that just made sense.
All right. Very good, man. Very good. A lot of good stuff going on there, man. So tell me now, we talked a little bit before the show about Caleb Plant and about your kind of association with him. Why don't you tell us a little about that?
Yeah, when I first started boxing at 9 or 10 years old, I originally wanted to do MMA, right? Everybody watching UFC fights as a kid.
Yeah.
Like, oh, man, that's what I want to do. But the only thing in town was a boxing gym, and it was Caleb Plant's dad, Ricky Plant. So that's what we started going with, and went with them for a year or two and really got to know them. They're great people. But that gym ended up closing down, so we bounced around a couple of different gyms and eventually started doing it ourselves. But I try to stay in touch with Caleb as much as I can. I know him and Canelo are probably about to have a big unification bout.
That's insane, right? Well, what do you think about that? Because, you know, like you having ties with Caleb Plant, how do you think he fares in that fight?
Caleb's a very good boxer. He's got a great jab. He's great on his feet. I think he's a little better boxer than Billy is. I think he'll sit down and move on his stuff a little more. Canelo's just an animal, though. I want Caleb to win. I do. I'm going to root for him all the way.
Sure.
But I'm just excited to see how it turns out and excited for him to make that fight.
Yeah. That's a huge payday for anybody, man. I tell you what, going in with Canelo, I think that's a big payday for anybody, right?
For sure.
What were your thoughts on the fight last night with Saunders and with Canelo?
Yeah, I think Billy came out, and first couple rounds, of course, such a big stage. You're fighting probably the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world right now. Came out kind of nervous, figuring it out. And through rounds 4, 5, and 6, he started to do a little better there. Started putting some combinations together, landing. But, of course, that shot he got hit with just shattered his cheek, honestly. And ended up stopping it. But I think the scorecards they had were right. And I think the trainers on Billy's side made the right call. But it was a very entertaining fight. I loved it.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. You know, and you mentioned the injury, obviously, that, you know, that ended the fight. Being a boxer, you have to fight through some of that. I mean, what's the worst injury you've ever had going in, either, like, that happened during the fight?
I've been pretty lucky. I haven't had too many injuries in fights. I've gone into fights with some shoulder injuries and things like that. You kind of have to push through. Mm-hmm. And my thought process is, as long as it's working, it's all right. But Billy's eye last night, he couldn't see anything. It wasn't working, and he's in there with a different beat in Canelo. So, like I was saying, it's hard to fight him with two eyes, let alone one.
I tell you what, that's exactly right, man. That's exactly right. All right, guys. So catch Ty Tomlin on Twitter @_TyTomlin. It's on the bottom scrolling in. Now you have a Snapchat as well, a Snapchat, Instagram, anything like that?
Oh yeah, my Instagram is _TyTomlin as well. You can catch me on Facebook at Tyler Shortfuse Tomlin. That's my athlete page. I don't know about giving out my Snapchat. I'm gonna hold that one.
Gotcha. Okay. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
I know. That's all right.
That's where he's got all the good pictures right there, son, you know.
Yeah.
He's got him and a bunch of ladies and everything like that. I've seen it. I've seen
all these,
and it's crazy, you know. I wouldn't want to give that out either if I were you.
You want me to get stalked by all these honey dips on it on Snapchat?
Hey.
I had to block a lot of them chicken heads on Snapchat. They came at me pretty strong.
Snapchat. I don't know.
Is that right, babe?
Of course I know.
Is that right?
That's right.
Yeah, is that right?
You know,
a whole lot of girls just following you on Snapchat, huh?
Well, I don't want to brag. But I could screenshot you some interesting stuff.
Yeah, that you wrote yourself?
Maybe a little X-rated. Ty, this guy, we've been trying to get this guy the Haterade vaccine, and he just won't take it.
Oh my goodness.
I tell you what, Lou DiBella, if you're listening, I don't know why you got, I don't know why you didn't put him on the card, man. Put him on TV, man. Put him on TV. What are you doing, Lou? Lou, what are you doing? Lou will take care of it. Yeah, Lou.
Get us on TV.
Yeah, he'll get
Lou,
you on TV.
Lou had a great talk with me, and we've got a lot of plans coming up. So I'm excited to be working with them and all the opportunities that that brings.
That's awesome, man. Well, listen, man, thank you very much for coming on here, man. We appreciate every, I appreciate your time and everything like that. And good luck in the future, man. And, hey, man, don't be a stranger, man. You got to come back on here, man. What are you doing? You got
that studio
over there and everything, man.
Yeah, anytime you hold me on, just let Mario know or shoot me a message. I'd love to be on. I appreciate y'all having me.
Absolutely, right, man. Take it easy, man.
Take care, man.
Thanks,
nice
y'all.
Talking with you.
Good stuff, man. Good stuff. What a nice guy, man. I tell you what, I really do wish, you know, when I was watching some of his fights on YouTube. He's a really good fighter, really solid, really solid. And like he said, he does, you know, he boxes, but, and he said, that he's, there's a cool documentary out there. If you go search Ty Tomlin on YouTube, you'll see a documentary. It's about 12 minutes long or whatever. It's really good, and he really explains, really breaks down what kind of fighter he is and everything like that. Really interesting, really interesting. Gives a lot of good takes on him, why they call him Short Fuse. When he gets hit, he wants to get that right back, you know. But good stuff, though, man. Good stuff here. And let's see what we got here. D-Style, thank you so much. He said, good interview. MMA is good for boxing. He said, MMA is good for boxing, brings more eyes to combat sports in general, can bring athletes like this young boxer. Like this young boxer, just like Muay Thai in Thailand and the Philippines, et cetera. Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%, man. All right. Let's get to it. Let's talk about the big one here, babe. Canelo Alvarez on DAZN versus Billy Joe Saunders. 73,126 showed up to the AT&T Stadium during a pandemic to watch Billy Joe Saunders and Canelo Alvarez for the WBA, WBC, and WBO super middleweight titles. Canelo Alvarez wins by a TKO at the end of the eighth over Billy Joe Saunders. Saunders' corner stopped the fight due to damage on his right eye. Turns out, according to Eddie Hearn today, Saunders has a triple fracture in his orbital bone. And, Steve, what did you say? He's in surgery, like, right now? I think he has surgery
right
at 5 or
right.
something like that. And so.
Five Texas time, so.
Yeah,
thanks.
So he's in there now. He's under the knife right now, I guess.
Yeah. Wish him luck, man.
I wish him a lot of luck, man. I tell you what, that is a that could be a career-ending injury, no?
I'm going to be honest with you.
I don't
think he's going to be able to fight again.
I don't think so either.
Yeah.
I mean, what, you know, with a triple fracture, your orbital, why fight again after that?
And if he does, he won't be the same.
No. No way. No way. Because Saunders can mix it up a little bit, but, you know, once you get injured like that, I can't imagine, you know.
You know, the whole thing with that, with orbital bones and injury around the eye, because Paulie Malignaggi broke his orbital bone against Cotto, and he decided to continue. And, you know, he lost the fight badly, whatever, and his eye was all swollen up. I'm not even sure if he got surgery on that eye, but what he said to me before was he has permanent nerve damage in that eye. Like his nerves. So, you know, the thing is this, Kyle Farch made an excellent statement, and I'm so happy he made it, because he was the type of guy that would fight through injuries, and he never would bow out of fights. But he said, you know, there's a point where, you know, bravery becomes stupidity. So is it worth going blind in that eye? You know, you could get cataracts in there. If you can have nerve damage, like I said, muscle damage, you know, torn retina, whatever. There's no tissue around here. It's all bone. There's nothing, you know. So when you get hit there, all those nerves are exposed and everything. And it's very easy to have irreversible damage if you continue to allow yourself to get smashed in a compromised area in your face, in that area, that orbital bone area.
And I'll tell you what, man, I mean, that punch that Canelo landed, that right uppercut that he landed right on the side of his face, man, that was vicious. That was vicious, and that eye blew up almost immediately. I mean, almost immediately. It was a good fight while it lasted, man. Judges had it 78-74 twice, 77-75 all for Canelo. I added 77-75 for Saunders. And the reason, I tell you what, the reason I was scoring it for Saunders was I thought he was a little bit busier. I thought he was controlling the pace a little bit better. Canelo, for the first time I've seen him in a long time, almost since that Floyd fight, was reduced to throwing one punch at a time. He wasn't throwing a whole lot of combinations, never really got more than two punches off before Saunders was really out of there, you know. Canelo was landing the harder shots. Sanders seemed to be landing more to me. To me, frustrated, like I said, he was frustrating him, having him throw one punch at a time. That being said, man, Canelo made some really good adjustments, just like he does in every fight, just like he did in the Kovalev fight. And, every fight that you see him, you know, where he might be in a little bit of trouble in the sense on the scorecards or fight not going his way, they're able to hit that switch, and he's able to do something different, which is just a mark of a great fighter, quite honestly. And, of course, then came the eighth round, and that was it. Once the eighth round hit, after that eighth round, I couldn't imagine that tide had already turned. Once that eighth round came in, that tide had turned. And even if the fight would have went on, Canelo was going to win that fight. There's not a whole lot Billy Joe could have done with it, you know. Saunders took a lot of criticism on social media after this fight for quitting on a stool. And I don't know, again, it sounded like the trainer stopped it. It didn't, you know, either way, Sanders didn't protest it, put it that way. And listen, man, I've never had a broken orbital bone. Doesn't sound like a whole lot of fun to me. So I tell you what, man, that being said, you know, what Saunders said really had come back to bite him. I got to be honest, man. So Beav and I were sending screenshots back to each other, and you saw them all over social media today. He said the following: I'd rather go out with my pulse stopped than take a knee like Daniel Dubois. If my two eye sockets were broken, my jaw was broken, my teeth were out, my nose was smashed, my brain was beaten, I was not stopping until I was knocked out or worse. Those were Billy Joe Saunders' words to Daniel Dubois. Listen, man, words matter, son. Whatever you say now is forever on the internet. And that's, you know, it's tough when you criticize somebody like that, especially when you're another fighter and you can be in that same position at one point. It's, you know, it comes back to bite you. After the fight, Canelo Alvarez called out Caleb Plant, who holds the IBF super middleweight title. Eddie Hearn stated that it was going to be his first call on Monday, and for those who don't know, yes, he's working with Eddie Hearn again. Beav, give me your thoughts on the fight, man, and the aftermath and who Canelo gets next.
Yeah, I had it 78-74 for Alvarez. I had a totally different outlook on the fight than you did. I thought Saunders was in retreat mode the whole time. I thought his jab was like kind of like a get-off-me jab. It really wasn't an offensive weapon. It was basically used as a defensive weapon. So like at the gym, when you're taught, you throw a combination and you jab on your way out. That's to basically prevent return fire as you're moving out. So that jab to me was more or less of a punch to say to Canelo Alvarez, don't, you know, stop throwing punches at me. I thought Canelo Alvarez was the one throwing the power shots. And I thought he actually may not have been busier than Saunders, but he was landing more than Saunders. And like in the first round, it's kind of like a throwaway round. It was really not a lot of action, but Saunders maybe landed two or three jabs, in my opinion. Alvarez was backing him up, put him on the ropes, and hit him with some pretty good body shots.
The one body shot in that first round, he loaded up and he got him, you know.
Well, yeah, that was one of them, but I thought he hit him a couple other times too. You know, I'm not a big punch stat guy, but sometimes, like I said, I don't want to be a hypocrite because I've bashed punch stats over the years. But I did look at the punch stats, and it was kind of ironic. Like, they did have a kind of an accurate reflection of how I saw the fight. You know, like Canelo Alvarez landed half of his, like over 50% of his power shots. And that's kind of the sense I got. Like, I mean, yeah. And then he started throwing the right hand. You know, and then pull the right hand, and then they would rip the left hook to the body a couple times. He would double up with uppercuts. And Saunders kept making tactical errors in this fight. He kept leaning forward. When Arislandi Lara was trying to use upper body movement against Alvarez, he would lean to the side. He would dip off to the side like that, and he would go side to side. Saunders kept going like this. And to me, it was like Alvarez knew the whole fight that he was going to get him with that uppercut. And early on, he kept missing him, grazing him with it. But then I think in the fourth round sixth round, he started landing that uppercut with some regularity. And at one point in the fight, he was doubling it up. So I don't know. To me, just because you're throwing more, still got to land. And you still got to throw more than a jab. And the fifth round, I thought, was a clear Saunders round. That was a round I thought he was putting shots together.
Yeah.
But I also think some of the rounds where Alvarez was a little bit less active, what I think he was trying to do, and this is just my opinion, he was trying to, like, lure Saunders in to throw more shots so he could get him to come forward, and he wanted to land that uppercut. He was trying to bait him in a little bit. And in that fifth round, to me, that fifth round was the only really clear round for me that I thought Saunders won. You know, and I thought rounds like 2, 3 and 4 and 8 were clear Alvarez rounds. So, I mean, could you give the first round to Saunders? Maybe. I didn't, because I thought he just landed jabs while Alvarez landed body shots.
You know, it was funny because the judges all gave
Saunders the first.
But
they all gave him the fourth too.
Yeah, and I gave him the fourth as well. But like, I know you took Canelo in that first round. I know you took Canelo in the first round, and I took Saunders in that first round. But I had said to my dad, we were watching this. I said, you know, I think that round really could have gone either way. I thought Saunders controlled a little better. That's why we gave it to me. You know what I mean?
But didn't you give Saunders the fourth?
I did.
And none of the judges gave Saunders the fourth.
Right. I gave Canelo 2 and 3. I think I gave Canelo 2 and 3, and I gave Saunders the fourth, yeah.
You gave Saunders the fourth, fifth, and sixth.
Let me see here. Let me bring it up here. There we go. I lost all my other fights on here. I got Saunders the first, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, the seventh, and then the eighth, obviously, to Canelo.
Yeah.
And I had that brought it to 77-75.
Yeah, none of the judges gave Saunders the fourth or the sixth. The judges were in agreement with, I think, 7 of the 8 rounds here. They were all in agreement. Yeah. And, you know.
I mean, listen, you know, we knew that he wasn't going to win a decision there. It was going to be tough for him to win there, period. It was going to be tougher for him to win a decision. But listen, that wasn't the fault of the judges. You know, Canelo is just—he was just better last night, and that was probably one of the best versions of Billy Joe Saunders I've seen.
See, I just think he was just overly defensive to me. He looked like he was throwing that jab to try to keep Alvarez from throwing punches back at him. It reminded me back when I was a kid, and Beep Senior would attack me, and I'd be throwing these, get away from me, Beep Senior, get away from me, Beep Senior. I wasn't trying to, you know, I didn't have my man strength back then. You know, when I got my man strength, I started stepping in and pushing Beef Senior back. But when I was a kid,
put that foot forward, you know.
I was like, you know, I don't want to denigrate him at all. I think he did the best he could, but he was just, once you started getting hit with the body shots, started dropping his hands, and I just thought that Canelo Alvarez was just, I thought he was in control of the fight, and I just don't think that Saunders did a lot of effective work outside of that fifth round. I gave Saunders the fifth and the seventh, but again, I could have given. Did you give Saunders the seventh too?
I believe I did. Yeah.
Yeah. I felt as though I could have given Alvarez the seventh if I wanted. Some people gave him the seventh too. So, I mean, Paul Smith. He gave Alvarez 6 rounds. Kyle Froch gave him 5. I mean, Kyle Frampton gave Alvarez 5 rounds. I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of UK people that thought Alvarez was in control of the fight.
Sure. Alex T, thank you so much. We appreciate it. He says Canelo versus Plant. Thank you, Al Heyman. Also, shout out to Notorious VC. Thank you so much. He said fighters of the year so far. One is Jake Paul. Number 2 is Canelo Alvarez.
I mean, so, appreciate it,
guys.
there were clearly swing rounds in there, and obviously I'm never going to say, how could you do this? I stopped doing that a long time ago because it could be done back to me. You know what I mean? Boxing is a very subjective sport. You know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
But what was going on last night on Twitter by some of, you know, the diehard UK fans, and it was predominantly I'm going to say it, may not want to hear it, but they were like, oh, judges were horrible. Oh, how could they not give, how could Saunders, I had Saunders winning. How could anyone not have him winning? I mean, they were in full attack mode last night, and then
yeah, that's ridiculous.
They were getting laughed at.
It's ridiculous because I tell you what, even though I had Saunders ahead, I have no problem with your scorecard, and I have no problem with the judges' scorecard. I have no problem with Chris Mannix's scorecard,
and I'm not going to have a problem with yours either. Because
it was what you like, who you thought was doing better work.
Yeah,
you know, so. Yeah.
I mean, that's my interpretation of the fight.
Yeah, mine too, you know.
And then people can say, well, you know, Saunders was given Alvarez, but I think Alvarez was given Saunders a lot of trouble with the pressure. And Saunders was starting to get tired, I thought. And I think the body shots took their toll. The uppercuts were starting to land.
I think that, you know, to me, I thought what I liked that Saunders did last night was he wasn't, you know, a lot of people looked at it, he was running. I didn't think he was running because he was circling. I thought he was more circling. And I, you know, I'm looking at him like, is Canelo cutting this ring off? Because he's circling so much. And sometimes he would just, and it looked like he was cut. But Saunders is so good on his feet that he can get away from that. You know, he's able to break that.
But he was getting away, but he wasn't putting himself in a position to counter.
That's okay. That's a perfect point. That is a really great point. That's what they always told you, is that when you're in a gym and they say, you can make somebody miss by a mile, but if you make them miss by a mile, you're not going to be able to throw that counter at them. You're going
to
take yourself out of position as well.
And also this too, Eric, when you take yourself that far out of position, you got to cover a lot of ground to get yourself back into position.
For sure.
You have to reset
just like he has to reset.
Exactly. And that's what I said. I said, go back and watch Erislandi Lara because he was being criticized for running. Look at his – go back and do it if you want anybody. His lead foot was never more than 2.5-3 feet away from Alvarez's lead foot in that fight.
Yeah.
And he was gauging his distance properly where he would move, but he would not take himself – that far out of range where he couldn't reset and counter or transition back into offense and attack Alvarez. Saunders took himself far out of range and he was circling, but he was never in a position to land shots. And he didn't really, outside of that fifth round, he really wasn't throwing any other punches to me outside of the jab.
He was having a hard time because of that pressure, I think. As Canelo came
yes.
in, and, you know, I told my dad, I think it was around the fifth or sixth round, I said, Saunders is going to have a little bit of trouble now because Canelo was starting to walk right through those shots. Now, I said, Saunders, to me, looked like he was winning these rounds. He was busier. He was catching and moving, and where Canelo was one and done, you know.
And he was only landing one punch.
He was only landing one and done, too, you know, but I said the thing is that he's starting to walk through those shots. He knows that nothing's coming back. And that's where,
but,
you know.
But Eric, outside of the fifth round, right,
mm-hmm.
Saunders never threw punches to really cause damage in this fight. He was, to me, he was just throwing get-off-me punches. That's just my interpretation of it.
No, I think that's a little, you know, I don't know that he was throwing get-off-me punches. I mean, because those were stiff jabs he was throwing. He caught him with a few stiff jabs.
He was backing up as he was throwing the jab. He never stepped in with it.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, he never stepped forward, but that's his style, though.
And you're not going to get leverage that way.
I agree.
You know, you're just not.
All right, let's shoot to the phones real quick. We got a couple people online here. 805, you're live.
What's up, guys?
What's happening,
man? You got to start waking up when you go to you.
You know, we were on you for 5 minutes now, calling 805, and you just sit there.
I know you.
Come on, I've been listening to you guys talking about the fight the whole time. Beeb was giving his analysis the whole time. Come on now.
Remember Corey did that? Remember Corey did that when we went through? He was like, I'm at the drive-thru right now. He's like, I'm getting ready to order. Can you guys come back to me? Yeah, absolutely. Why don't we just put the whole show on hold?
I caught Notch on the on the drive-thru a few times during calls too.
Come on.
Go ahead, Notch.
All right. I'm a little surprised that Eric gave Saunders so much credit for the scorecard that he said he scored. I'm in agreement with Beeb. I honestly thought that he literally was just kind of backing up, throwing pitter-patter jabs with the occasional, a hook or the occasional straight left when he felt like Canelo was too close. But in reality, he was not landing enough to me for me to be able to say, like, yeah, I think he did enough to win those rounds. And so hearing people say that they thought he was up 5-3, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm having a tough time seeing any way that I could give Saunders 5 legitimate rounds in that fight. Like, I just felt Canelo was landing the body shots, making him back up. And the one thing that was really interesting was every time Saunders, like you guys said, would circle, Canelo necessarily wasn't cutting the ring off, but I don't know if you guys noticed, he would bull rush Saunders into the ropes, and Saunders really had no way of, like, spinning and getting out of whatever section of the ring Canelo would trap him in.
You know why?
And then Canelo...
You know why, Nacho? You know why, Nacho? I don't need to cut you off. You know why? He kept putting his foot, lead foot, outside of Saunders, lead foot, and when Saunders tried to move, he was just like, they were trapped. They were smacking foots.
Yeah.
That's an old Chavez Sr. trick. Old Chavez Sr. trick.
Yeah.
An old,
yeah, but he was
Beeb Jr. trick, too. I see my dad.
True. That's true, Beeb. But what I was saying was
I got my man strength. My dad tried to roll out. I used to trap him in the corners.
Roll out.
He wasn't doing the typical, go side to side and then cut him off. What he was doing was just bull rushing him and then trapping him into the corner or against the ropes, and then Saunders was having a tough time. But I just felt like he landed, like, really clean body shots and some straight right hands to the head, and he was starting to kind of time him. I gave Saunders 4 and 5 because I felt like Saunders was being pretty tricky at that point, and he had just kind of made a little bit of an adjustment to make Canelo start missing on some of the shots he took, and he landed a few shots clean on Canelo, and Canelo took him. But it was like around the 6th round where you could see that Canelo figured out, okay, this dude's not going to do this, so I'm going to do this to counteract what he's doing. And that's what he did with the uppercut. As soon as he would let Saunders start kind of throwing that semi off-balance hook or left hand that he was throwing, and he would step back and then counter, then it was like, okay, like, he made the adjustment. Now it's just a matter of time before he catches him with something. And sure enough, in the 8th round, he caught him with that shot. And at first, I didn't think the shot was that serious. I just saw Saunders kind of, like, stop and then all of a sudden start backing up. And once Canelo started, like, you know, getting the crowd into it, I was like, oh, okay. So he really hurt him at this point because Saunders hadn't done that all night. So for him to start backing up once he was hurting his eye, I was like, oh, yeah, I think it's just a matter of time now before he gets him out of there. And eventually they pulled him out, and, you know, it's a good win. It's a good win for him. But like you guys were saying, you don't think Saunders might come back. But like I said in the chat, it's possible. Brooke had both of his eyes broken. And granted, he's never been the same since, but he still kept fighting.
Not in multiple
so
places
be,
like that, Knox.
Come on,
not in multiple
show.
Places.
But
not
he had both.
You.
He had,
this is a. This is.
He had both of them, though.
Jesus.
He had both eyes broken.
Yeah, but not
beef.
Triple.
This is
triple
a triple fracture.
This
is a triple fracture.
And listen, I'm not a doctor, but that sounds bad.
This
no,
is
I'm
something
not saying
Thanos,
it's not bad.
Thanos could do when he hits you with the Infinity Gauntlet. That's how how Thanos gets down.
That's how he does get down, boy. He's bad.
That's like
Infinity Gauntlet kind
that's
of stuff.
Infinity,
man.
That's Infinity Gauntlet levels, Nacho.
Crazy.
Okay.
Stop it, Nacho.
All right.
What's the matter with
and then with the
back.
Fight
I mean,
before that.
I don't know. I want to see him fight. Why haven't he come back though? You know what I mean? Why?
I want to see him fight Eubank. I want to see him fight Eubank in a rematch.
He'll smash Eubank again. Well, I don't know now. I mean, can't.
No way. Come on.
He's having surgery today.
Yeah. Go ahead. Now.
He beat Eubank in the first
fight.
Easy.
In the fight before that with Takayama and Soto, man, Soto was going
That's
throwing
right.
everything but the kitchen sink at him. And Takayama, I got to give that dude credit. He had a hell of a chin. He got wobbled, but, man, he took everything like a pro. It was unbelievable. But, my God, can somebody please just get rid of fucking
Chris Mannix?
What's his name?
Chris Mannix?
No. Not Mannix. I'm talking about the ref. He's horrible.
It's cold.
Lawrence Cole.
Yeah,
get rid of
Lawrence Cole needs to be – yeah, they need to get rid of that guy. I mean, Takayama was fighting back. He wasn't staggered. He was still in the fight, and he literally steps in the middle of the combination and gives the win to Soto. It's like, dude, come on. Like, the guy wasn't hurt.
He's got a family,
Nacho. What? He's horrible, though.
He's got a family.
Eric, how do you let a guy who's incompetent at his job keep a job? Like, seriously.
Tell him to go home to his family and stay home and stop repping fights. Let him stay home with his family and play freaking Yahtzee or something.
Yeah.
Put your day job.
He can do other things, Eric. He doesn't need to be a professional boxing referee. He's horrible.
Super nice guy, man. What are you doing? What's the matter with
you? He sucks at his job, Eric.
Lawrence Cole.
Plain and simple.
Oh, that's terrible.
We don't give people participation trophies here on Ringside Report.
Exactly.
Reporter. Stop.
Thank you, Beeb. Thank you.
Yeah. I got two belts on the wall, so you're different.
That's a good one. That's a good comeback.
All right, Nacho, we're going to get running. All right. Thanks for
the
call.
All right, guys. See you.
Thanks, Nacho. Can I let Nacho be part of the Beeb gym, man? He knows what he's talking about.
He knows what he's talking about, huh? 760, you're live.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? It's Brian.
Brian, what's happening?
Can you hear me?
Brian, kick some knowledge for us, baby. Kick some knowledge for us.
Man,
talk to us, baby.
Beeb, you're the one that already kicked the knowledge because I got to agree with you. I'm going to just talk about Canelo, okay? But I'm only giving Billy Joe like two rounds. That's it. I think for the most part, Canelo won the first through the fourth. I'll give Billy Joe the fifth. I'll give him the seventh, and Canelo finished him.
That's what I did. You scored the fight identically to me. That's exactly how I scored the fight. Gave him the fifth and the seventh.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It looked like, you know, basic. I know people are mad about the scorecards, but, I mean, it's like common sense. I mean, Canelo not
Who's mad about the scorecards,
him.
Though?
Like I said, there's a couple UK diehards up on Twitter. They're crying.
I don't think there's anything wrong
a
with
lot
those scorecards,
people,
man. I mean,
it
like
was
I said,
people that was, it was people that had it, you know, basically even, or they had Billy Joe up. I don't know how. But
yeah,
most of the people I talked to, though, they basically said Canelo won most of the rounds. They gave Billy Joe like two rounds out of eight rounds, and that was it. But I think it was all like, you know, I mean, strategy. You know, Canelo had a better strategy than Billy Joe, even in the beginning. It's like, even if you say Billy Joe was more busy, you know, it's like Canelo was more accurate. And his shots meant more because he was going to the body in the beginning. I think even the two rounds that you give to Billy Joe, I honestly think Canelo took them rounds off. To be honest with you, he just took a couple rounds off and, you know, saved it for the eighth, and he was trying to finish him, you know, which he did get finished. So, you know, and it's not really no debate because looked like Billy Joe, he was breaking them down. What you think, Eric? What you think, B, same thing?
I tell you what, man, I think it was, you know, Canelo's had a lot of big fights, and he's had a lot of impressive fights. This was a big one, man. This was really impressive to me because I thought that Billy Joe Saunders was definitely going to be tougher than Callum Smith. He was definitely going to be tougher than, you know, was it Liam Smith that he fought? I think it was Liam Smith.
Liam Smith, yeah. He
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I knew it was going to be tougher than those fights, man. And Billy Joe Saunders, again, never 30-0, never lost. to go in there, and I thought, like I said, man, I thought Saunders did well. I know a lot of people disagree with me. It's okay. But to finish him like that, that was impressive. That was impressive.
You know what someone said on Twitter, and this was a great point. This could be arguably Canelo's most impressive knockout because this is the first time he's ever knocked someone out who was undefeated and a champion.
Right.
I still think that Amir Khan from aesthetics was the best.
Oh, no, yeah. but in terms
best
of...
Best win, yeah.
I like
knockout
the,
win.
Man, I like the
yeah, yeah, yeah. Best knockout win though. In terms of status.
He's not supposed to knock out other champions. I mean, these are champions.
No,
these guys are high-level guys, man.
What I'm saying is
Look,
this
man,
knockout had more
deep.
Significance to it because Billy Joe Saunders has never been knocked out before, and he was undefeated, and he was a champion. All the other guys Canelo did knock out, they were knocked out before, and they had losses. You know what I mean?
Right.
This guy
point,
never been was
point.
Never knocked out before. Yeah, he was never knocked out before, and he was undefeated. So that's what someone said on Twitter. I'm not going to take credit for that statement, but that's what – I think Ryan O'Hara said that on Twitter, boxing writer. Shout out to you.
I'm not a big fan of Ryan O'Hara.
He's a little emotional,
so,
but he's okay sometimes.
I don't like him.
So next
like
up, supposedly we might have Caleb Plant. I
don't
really don't think Caleb.
Not going
I don't
to.
Think Caleb Plant gonna fight Canelo.
I'm skeptical on it too, but I hope I'm wrong.
I don't
Why not?
Think he's gonna fight him, man, because he's too dangerous.
Why?
He's gonna stay away from him. It's not gonna happen.
Stop.
You know how boxing is. Come on. Let's not act like
I mean, so
gonna
they're going
to
throw a boatload of money at Caleb Plant, and he's going to say no? Caleb Plant is competitive as they come.
Yes. Am I wrong?
yes, that's
Caleb,
what
going to
happen.
Hey, didn't Caleb Plant
Brian,
turn
I said this,
down the
we
fight?
Both said the same thing. Brian, you and I have both been saying the same thing for the last couple months. We said we both said
What's
the
that?
Same thing. We were both skeptical of Caleb. We both were skeptical of Caleb Plant ever taking on the Canelo fight.
He turned down the Canelo fight because there wasn't enough
twice.
Time. He turned it down because there wasn't enough time. I don't
Did
think
he turned
down
twice.
The money, hold on,
wait.
Hold on, because it wasn't enough time, but was the money there? Because you said they was he throwing
money
out?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if the money was there or not.
But you
Listen,
just
he goes
said
there
that,
to win.
Not me.
He,
okay,
you
we'll
said
see
that.
If he takes the fight. We'll see if he takes the fight. Because if he turned down the money before, why – He going to turn it down?
We should have a pie bet if he takes a fight.
Yeah, we should have a pie bet if he takes a fight.
Should have a pie bet that he has to take the fight by the end of the year.
That's right. That's right. There you go.
You want to take that?
Okay,
you want to take that
we'll
bet, Eric?
I'll take that bet.
We'll do
I'll
it.
Take that
you
want
to do that? Want
I
do
would,
that?
But didn't bet. Brian not pay Jesse Rican, though? Didn't
Man,
he?
You
well, he paid
Brian
Jesse Rican. No, he welched on that bet before.
That's
no.
what I heard. I heard you welched on that bet. That's what I heard. That's what Beeb told me. That's what Beeb told me.
You can't carry.
That's
you
a
beef
on me, son.
You can't carry. You can't carry.
He said you
Corey
that bet, son.
Nah.
He said
nah,
you pulled a Corey, son. He pulled a Corey, son.
I can screenshot you. I can screenshot you the cash app.
Hey, anybody can pay. Anybody can Photoshop anything. You know. So,
matter of fact,
you know,
I told
you.
Hey, I told
you.
You got legitimate names,
baby.
Got legitimate names.
I said Jesse, I'll get him.
All right, Brian, we're gonna get moving, man.
All right, man. All right, hey,
Brian,
it's the best,
Brian,
man.
Brian, I can tell you've been around the gyms. You know how to score fights, brother.
All right, let's go to 530. This is Ringside Robert.
Hello, guys. How
Robbie,
are you?
What's the word?
Not much, man. Good fight, but lousy undercard.
Oh, how dare you.
Please, Robbie.
Those guys did their best, Robert. And you just take a dump all over them.
And I agree with Nacho. Lawrence Cole has got to go.
Oh. Now, I talked to Lawrence Cole the other day, man. He was, you know what he did? He asked me about you. He was like, "How's Ringside Robert doing? Is he still on the road? How's he doing, man?"
Yeah.
And I said, "Man, you know he's doing good, you know." And then you come over here and you just dump on him, hoping he gets fired and everything like that, man. What's wrong with you?
Cold-blooded. Pick up another story, Eric. I don't buy that one.
He's all right, he can collect unemployment. Give him pandemic insurance.
Oh, he probably takes more than he did refereeing last night.
Oh boy. No, and I'm also in agreement with Brian and Beeb. I don't think Caleb Plant steps one foot in that ring with Canelo. I think he finds a way to vacate the title. I don't think he takes that fight.
Why would he vacate the title?
Vacate the title.
I don't think he's got the guts, Eric, to step in the ring with Canelo.
Why? You think you honestly think he's scared of Canelo? You think any fighter in that division is scared of Canelo?
These guys are professional fighters. Look, Eric, I think David Benavidez would take that fight over Caleb Plant.
I love David Caleb Benavidez.
Plant.
I like David Benavidez, too. He's really good.
Caleb Plant is too easy work. It'll be a very –
I don't know, man.
It'll,
Caleb
it'll
Plant
be
is
a
good.
Very easy
I
night
think Canelo
at the
beats him, though. Oh, wow. He gave Caleb Plant no dap, boy.
Nope.
I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if Caleb Plant fights David Benavidez before he fights Canelo.
Absolutely,
Alvarez.
And you know, and you know what's gonna happen when that happens. I'll tell you why.
Go ahead.
I'll tell you why, because I think PBC would rather have David Benavidez fight Canelo
absolutely.
Than Caleb Plant.
Absolutely.
All right, that's great. I'm going to tell you why your argument
falls Mexicans.
Apart.
Two Mexicans.
Why your argument falls apart? Okay.
Sure.
Because Caleb Plant is going to make a lot more money, a lot more against Canelo than he will against David Benavidez. Boom. End of story. That's it. It's about
maybe,
the money,
maybe,
son.
Maybe he thinks he can't beat Canelo Alvarez and he'd rather fight David Benavidez.
Who else, who's going to beat Canelo
and,
Alvarez?
And keep one thing in
mind,
Eric.
I think David Benavidez has a very,
I can bring
very good shot.
Down. He ain't beating Canelo Alvarez, son.
I think David Benavidez has a good shot.
Keep one thing in mind. Caleb Plant has very weak hands.
Got sweet hands, not weak
hands. Got sweet
hands.
No,
he's
got
sweet
weak
hands.
Hands. He breaks them. Breaks them. You know.
Wow.
He's got a hand.
You're talking trash about friend of the show, Caleb Plant, son. I'm gonna bring Caleb Plant on here. I'm gonna ask him point blank. You afraid of Canelo? You know what he's gonna say? He's gonna say no.
Of course he'll say no.
What's the matter with you?
But
there it is.
Would you know more than Caleb Plant? He'll say no until he steps in the ring and goes, "Oh my God, what am I doing here?"
Oh, stop it!
He's worthy.
You know, no, David. if anybody at 168 has a shot against Canelo, it's David Benavidez. Caleb Plant is easy work.
Wow, he hates Caleb Plant, huh?
Easy work.
Wow.
That's just how I see it.
It's crazy, man. I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't think any fight at this level is going to be easy work, man.
Okay.
To be honest with you. I don't think any fight at this level.
Well, I disagree. I don't. If he takes it, it's going to be easy work. But I don't think he takes that fight.
So what did you think of that Lawrence Cole stoppage?
He should have left it alone and let the fight go on.
I agree. I don't think that fight should be stopped.
He's the worst referee in boxing. That's why I get worried whenever they say there's cards in Texas, because you know he's going to screw something up. He always does.
And he's always in like a big event. You know what I mean? Like he's always on like a bigger type event.
That's right.
So yeah, that ain't good. Ain't good.
But look, I hope Canelo gets the fight he wants, and I hope he's successful. Then I'm wondering, once he dominates 168, what's he going to do next?
Keep defending. He's not going up to 175. Didn't he say 168 was the highest he was going to go?
Yeah, he kind of said that. But
he did say that.
They were talking about him maybe fighting Beterbiev, but I don't know.
I think those guys are big up there. I think they're too like tall. You know, they're a little bit taller than he is. I think they're a little bit bigger than he is, and I think they're probably a little bit stronger than he is, too.
Yes.
And not to say that, obviously, he beat Kovalev. Obviously, he can compete up there.
That's right.
But the problem is those guys are going to be bigger. Those guys are going to be a little bit bigger. You know, as you get into the cream of the crop up there, they're going to be a little bit bigger. So, yeah, Beterbiev, I think he gets outboxed. I think Beterbiev gets outboxed for a little while, but he's always got that power, man.
Yes, he does.
It's tough.
Yeah.
He can hit you with it, so... I heard they want to make him and Bivol. I don't think that's a big selling fight, I'll be honest.
No, not a huge fight.
No, and especially the way Bivol's been looking lately.
They're probably going to make Joe Smith and Beterbiev before they make that fight.
That's
they were
right.
talking about that first, I think.
Yep. I hear Joe Smith and
Beterbiev.
What's a Beterbiev? I thought it was somebody else. I thought it was, I could be wrong, though. I could be wrong. No, no, Joe Smith, Eddie Hearn is going to make a big, big move to get Daniel, what's his face?
Jacobs?
Yes, Daniel Jacobs and Joe Smith
Jr.
Yeah, that's the one
that
he wants to make.
I also heard that, too, yeah.
Yeah, that's,
okay.
That's the one he wants to make.
But Better Biev, I think, and Joe Smith, I think they're both top rank, if I'm not mistaken. Who's got Better Biev?
They're
both
top
rank, so I think that's a problem. That's a problem.
It's an easier fight, but then, you know, you're looking at the money situation.
Yeah. I love the Danny Jacobs fight with Joe Smith. That'd be great.
I think that would be a really good fight.
I really do. I think it's a real interesting fight.
I'd pick Jacobs in that fight, to be honest with you. I think Jacobs is a solid boxer.
I think he is, too, but I think he's on the dark side of his career, though.
Yeah, he's starting to turn the corner a little bit.
Yeah,
yes,
I think so, too. And
no question about that.
Yayo brings up a good point. Tony Yayo in the chat, that's a really good point. He said Joe Smith has a better shot with Better Biev than the last guy he fought.
I think so, too. I said the same thing.
That's not a bad point.
The guy's going to be right in front of you.
Yeah, and that's what he likes.
Yeah.
You know, and Joe Smith can box a little bit, too. He's not just a one-trick pony. He can box a little bit.
I really like that Joe Smith Better Biev fight. I think he's got a shot. I think he can win. I would pick him to win.
I like Joe Smith against Jacobs or Better Biev, either one. I think either one is awesome.
I like it.
Yeah, for sure.
Joe deserves both paydays as far as I'm concerned.
Thank you, Robbie.
I agree. I like him. All right, Robert, we're going to get running here.
All right, see you.
Let's see here. Let's talk about the upcoming fights here. Coming up this weekend on May 14th on UFC Fight Pass, headlined by Heather Hardy versus Jessica Kamara, 8 rounds, women lightweights. The whole card, as we heard earlier, is going to be women except for Ty Tomlin. He's going to be on the undercard there. I don't know why they didn't put him on. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's 6 fights on here. Why not put them all on the show? Why not put them all on the fight pad? I don't understand that.
I don't know.
Unless he has to, you know, he's got a certain amount of time limit or something like that. But it's fight pass. I mean, what else are they going to put on there?
Were they only televising 4 fights?
Yeah, they're only televising 4 of the 6. Makes no sense.
I may buy that.
No, I'm not going to buy it. I'm not going to see Tomlin on there. Why would I buy it?
That's
see Heather Hardy versus Jessica Kamara? Come on. Stop.
Yeah.
8 rounds. Wait. Anyway, Ty Tomlin's on that undercard. He's fighting Tyrone Lucky.
Neither.
Huh?
Please.
I didn't do anything, man.
Stop trashing the women.
I didn't trash the women. I'm just saying pay for that.
It's Mother's Day. Come on,
man. If I'm not going to see Ty Tomlin on the card, why would I pay for it?
Even on Mother's Day, you have to still trash the women. Come on,
please. I didn't say anything.
Heather Hardy has a child. She's got to pay the bills. Mother's Day.
I could.
Happy Mother's Day, Heather Hardy. Happy Mother's Day
to all the mothers out there. I'm not singling out one.
That was my next statement.
No. That was my statement, son. Big difference.
Oh, you want to make up for it now.
Yeah. Hey.
Wow. After you already dug the hole.
Seems to be my MO around here, you know. All right. May 15th, Saturday on Showtime. Luis Nery versus Brandon Figueroa, 12 rounds for Nery's WBC junior featherweight title. Danny Roman versus Ricardo Espinoza Franco, 10 rounds junior featherweights. Xavier Martinez versus Abraham Montoya, 12 rounds junior lightweights. That's on Showtime. You know, that Luis Nery fight, man, and Brandon Figueroa, I think that's a good fight. I think Nery walks him, though.
I would favor Nery in that fight.
I would definitely favor Nery in that fight, man.
Without question.
Yeah, for sure. May 15th on DAZN from Manchester, England, Terry Harper versus Hyun Min Choi, 10 rounds for Harper's WBC and WBA, and Choi's WBA Women's Junior Lightweight titles. Joshua Buatsi versus the dreaded TVA. And that's about it on there. That's about it.
Next week is Slim Pickens.
It really is. Yeah, just the Nery fight. That's about it. And then we're gonna find out what happens with Ty Tomlin, and we'll report that. Let's see here. After that, what is the next week? Yeah, May 22nd, 2 weeks from now, is the big one with Josh Taylor and Jose Ramirez. How do you see – I see Josh Taylor winning that fight fairly easy.
I got Ramirez in that fight.
Really?
I think he's a little more
like
rugged.
Josh Taylor, do you?
Do I not like him as a person? Never met him. I don't know.
I don't mean as a person. What do I care about his personality?
Well, as a fighter, do I not like him?
Why would I ask you if you don't like him as a person? You don't know him. Why would I ask you that? Why would I say, hey, B?
No offense. You don't always ask me the greatest – You don't always ask me the greatest questions on here sometimes.
Well, sometimes I got to spoon feed you. What am I going to do?
Sometimes you give me these questions out of left field, like what's the friggin' mystery of quantum physics or something. Like I don't know why you asked me that question.
Still a good question.
Do I like Josh Taylor? I think that he's a little one-dimensional.
Yeah.
I think he's a little one-dimensional. I'm not crazy about him. His defense. I actually thought that he lost the Pro Grace fight.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah,
I thought he got outboxed there. The thing I like
that
about
was
Ramirez,
super close fight, though.
Of course, the thing I like about Ramirez is I think he's a little bit more tough and rugged on the inside, and I think he puts his shots together better on the inside as well. And he gets low. I think he's a better inside fighter than Josh Taylor. For the most part, is a mid-range to inside fighter, but I don't like how he defends on the inside. I like how Ramirez defends on the inside.
Yeah.
I like how he positions himself, gets himself low, tucks the chin, gets up and underneath. I think Josh Taylor, when he's up close, he stands too straight up a lot of times. I thought Postal, ironically enough, gave both of those guys a tough fight.
Yeah. Well, you remember the Pro Grace fight. Pro Grace was in his chest the entire fight. Pro Grace,
yes.
That was a – I mean, he went at him.
He had a hard time dealing with Pro Grace on the inside.
Yeah, he really did. So,
and I think Ramirez will get nice and tight and low on the inside, and he'll be getting up and underneath Josh Taylor, and Josh Taylor will be standing straight up, and he'll just be giving him that torso. I think Ramirez is going to have his way with him on the inside. To be perfectly honest with you, I think he's a real tough, rugged grinder on the inside. I just think he's got a lot of dog in him.
It's an interesting fight.
It is.
Interesting fight.
Most people are picking Josh Taylor. I just think Ramirez is going to win.
It's a good fight either way. Like I said, I'm picking Taylor. You're picking Ramirez, but I think it's a good fight either way.
Great fight. I mean,
solid
it's a beautiful
fight. Yeah.
Fight. How do you think ESPN's promoting it? I mean, it doesn't seem like they've been really pushing it like they should.
No, not at all. I haven't seen anything for it. They're busy. I tell you what, this is why Top Rank, and I mean, listen, man, ESPN's
Top
a big platform. I get it. But they are pushing the UFC, and that's it. You know what
Correct.
I mean? As far as the combat sports, it's UFC or bust.
I agree.
There's too much money involved in the UFC, and why would they push Top Rank? Why would they? They don't
Top
have anywhere near the money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
This is where Eddie Hearn excels, because he really gets behind his fighters. He pushes his fighters, never talks bad about his fighters, always tries to really push his fighters hard, make them look good, talks very well about them all, you know, so... To me, it seems like Bob doesn't really have his heart in it like he used to anymore. I think he's getting sick of the boxing game.
Yeah. You know what I was disappointed with the card last night is as good of a main event that was.
Yeah.
And it was a solid main event on paper.
Yeah.
And it was a solid main event in the ring. Don't get me wrong. It was a solid main event on paper.
Sure.
That undercard was awful.
You know, on paper, I hated the undercard. But
right.
I actually liked that co-feature. I thought that was pretty entertaining.
Yeah, I saw highlights of it. I didn't watch
it over exceeded my expectations. But you know what was sad last night? I had a couple people text me, a couple friends text me saying this undercard sucks. And they said, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm not even watching it right now. I'm watching the UFC.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
That's what people were telling me last night.
Yeah, and I mean, that tells you everything you need to know. And that's why it's important to put on a solid undercard. Because
yeah, it was pretty sad to hear that. Pretty sad to hear that.
Yeah. So there it is. John D. in the chat had made reference to this. He said that Canelo talked to Andrade and his father. Yeah, so what happened at the presser last night at the post-fight press conference, Andre, they gave him a microphone, and he was asking questions like he was a reporter, which I don't understand why they do that. I mean, I guess they just do it to hype it or whatever, but Andre's not next. He's at 160. Canelo's at 168. That fight ain't happening. And Canelo said as much. He says, you haven't fought anybody. And then Andre's father started cussing at Canelo. Canelo cussed him out, and then they escorted them both out or whatever. But, like, you know, I don't know. I'm not a big fan of that stuff. You can't really make a fight there. You know, maybe he was trying to – what is it, Aris Lara? Who was it that –
Lara did it. Lara went right up. But see, the thing about Lara is he wasn't disrespectful at all.
Yeah.
And Canelo did respect Lara. He knew Lara had, you know, fought guys.
Yeah.
Lara went right up to the podium. But Canelo kind of talked some trash about him too a little bit. He's like nobody knows who you nobody knows who you are, buddy. You know. But Canelo was funny yesterday. He made me laugh yesterday.
Yeah, he was. That accent.
He goes, you fought nobody. He goes, you fought nobody, man.
You fought nobody, man. Omar Rodriguez, he said, just joined. Thank you so much. He said, did you guys also have BJ ahead on the cards, Beeb and Eric? No, Beeb had I had it 77-75 for Saunders. I saw Saunders winning that fight up until the time of the stoppage, obviously. And then, Beeb, you had it the other way around for Canelo, correct?
I had Canelo up 87-84, I believe, or something like that, yeah.
Okay.
I only gave Saunders two rounds.
Look at Chacal. Team Canelo, the real deal. Chacal don't miss when it comes to Canelo, man. He's got somebody, I don't know who he knows on the inside, but everything he tells me, it's true, man.
Chacal, how come you didn't, like, you weren't there? How come you're not in the locker room with them and stuff, man?
I had the score. What is it? I had Ben Scores. I had Ben Scores. What are you talking about?
Oh, yeah, Beebs. Yeah,
Beeb Scores. Okay.
Yeah, my score. Yeah,
okay,
my score.
I got you.
Viva Mexico. Viva Mexico!
Who was that? I think just me and Chris Mannix and maybe 15 diehard UK people had that score for Saunders, I think, you know?
Eric. That's okay, Eric.
Hey, Mannix is my friend. What am I going to do? Let him down? What am I going to do?
Mannix was getting blasted.
You know who should have got blasted is Sergio. Jesus.
Oh, my God.
That guy is terrible. Am I right, man? That guy
is
horrible.
The dumbest thing he said, and I texted this to you last night, but I'm going to let this go.
Oh, Lord.
He goes, journeymen don't come to win the fight. They only look for the upset.
Winning the fight, you stupid.
When you score an upset, you win the fight. It's the same freaking thing, you idiot. And then he says to Todd Grisham, you know what I mean? He goes, and Todd Grisham goes, not exactly, but we'll move on from that.
Well, he said too, he was like, when they were talking about Billy Joe, his orbital or whatever, because that was a speculation that it was his orbital. And he said that Sergio said that when you hit somebody, you can kind of dig your knuckles. You can feel his orbital bone when you hit him. You can, huh? With the glove and the tape and everything, like, shut up.
You have friggin' 10 pounds of gauze and tape on your hand.
But you're able to.
10-ounce glove.
Man, just shut up.
What a friggin' son. That guy is the biggest meathead ever.
Moron.
What an idiot.
Son. Moron.
Worst.
What, let's see here. JC says, what do you think of 70,000 Mexican fans? I think 35,000. I think 35,000 of them are getting COVID. That's what I think. I think it was crazy. Listen, man, it was great. It was a great atmosphere. It was great to see all those people. That being said, I don't know if I'd be there right now. I'll tell you that. I don't know, man. In the middle of a pandemic still. B, talk some sense to these people.
Yeah, well.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do? I don't know. Hope they all had a shot, man. That's all I can say. I don't know.
I think Low Blow Champ is from the UK, too. I think he's in the chat, Brian. About the judges.
Is he? Love Lord Champ.
I'm going to cry, baby.
Beeb was one of the paid judges.
Yeah. me and about friggin' 100,000 other people have the same scorecard. But we're going to go with the handful of friggin' diehards that had it the other way. Okay.
Yeah, Dale in Chi-Town said, I hope they were vaccinated. I saw about two masks in the crowd. Yeah, that ain't no lie, man. That ain't no lie. Yeah. All right, let's talk about let's get to our news and rumors here. Floyd Mayweather. Floyd Mayweather and Logan Paul had a press conference. This was actually pretty lame, man, when they were on there. And then after the press conference, I mean, Logan Paul does his own thing. He talks to him, you know, talks trash and everything. Then after this, okay, so they get down there. All of a sudden, Jake Paul gets in there, and they start arguing back and forth. Beeb, do it. You got to do it. You do this better than anybody.
Get your hat.
He says, got your hat. He starts running away. He starts running away from Floyd. At which point, Floyd and his bodyguards and about 50,000 other people getting a big fray. They get in a big fray or whatever. It looked like I don't think Floyd punched him. I don't think he did.
The bodyguard hit him.
That's what he said. He said the bodyguard got a clear shot on him.
I don't even think the bodyguard hit him. I think that he see how he kept going like this with his hand. I think he put like friggin' makeup on his eye. I think the whole thing was staged, to be honest with you.
No.
I think the whole thing was staged. It looked staged to me. I don't know. I could be wrong. I thought it was staged.
I don't know, man. The whole thing was kind of corny, to be honest with you. I mean, yeah, everybody was talking about Floyd's hair plugs too, you know.
Oh, it's hilarious.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It was a lame thing, man. It was just kind of lame, to be honest with you. And he's not even fighting that guy. That's not even the guy he's fighting. You know? He's fighting the other brother. What even him?
He had like a chia pet growing on his head. Did you see that?
Yeah, he didn't look good, did he? He looks in shape. I don't know what he looks better bald, though. Like, why, you know, I don't know.
He looked like he was like 50 in his face.
He looks like he was like one of the hair club members from Men or whatever. Remember that, the hair club from Men?
He looked horrible, man.
He didn't look good, man.
He looked like a panhandler.
Man, he gets to Yosef Mayweather look like a homeless bum wearing dolphin gear. He did. Crazy, man. It's crazy. More news on Felix Verdejo here. This is getting pretty real here. So attorneys had 30 days to make a case because Felix Verdejo, I don't know if, he was arrested and everything like that. Attorneys had 30 days to make a case against Felix Verdejo and present it to the grand jury. It just took a few days to get the evidence to the grand jury. Felix Verdejo is now indicted. So, that ain't good. That means there's enough to continue with the trial. They definitely have enough evidence. So he's in a lot of trouble, man. He's being charged with murder, kidnapping, and murder of an unborn baby. So tell you what, man, that ain't good. That ain't good.
Yeah, it doesn't look good.
Did you hear the details of all this?
I'm hearing so many different things. I heard what you said. I heard from other people, but someone else was telling me that like he was beat up and stuff too, and they're trying to say that he may have been framed or some shit stuff like that. I don't know.
It's his baby. It's his baby, man.
No, it was his baby, but he had bruises and stuff. They're thinking that it was like it could be like because her family, I think, is she's connected like to the mob from what I was told. And there, one of the stories, and again, this is just a rumor, that maybe, you know, the mob did that to like beat him up and did that to her. I don't know, but from what I see in terms of evidence, it doesn't look good for him.
No, he. From what I understand, they've got his car right there at the scene on that bridge.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
they've got
it. It's getting worse for him. Just keep getting worse.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, they've got his car. They've seized this car, obviously. And there was two people in on it because somebody took her car and dropped it. They tied her up with wire. I guess he hit her in the face when she got in the car. The speculation is he hit her in the face when she got in the car, and then he injected her with heroin laced with fentanyl.
Oh, no.
And then to put her to sleep, and then they tied her up. I guess they tied her hands and her feet, put a cinder block on her, and dumped her out of the bridge.
No.
She was still alive when she hit the water. She drowned. She drowned to death. And then he fired shots. He fired shots at her as he was on the bridge as she went down. He kept firing shots at her.
They have shell casings
on the bridge. Yes, there is a witness. The main witness rolled over. The guy, I guess one of the people that was involved in the whole thing rolled over on him. My guess is for immunity or reduced sentence or whatever, but they rolled over on him. So
he did it then.
Yeah, that's what it's looking like. Now, and I was talking to my dad, too. He was talking on the he was saying that he was watching the Spanish channels and on the news reports there that the defense, what they're going to do is they're going to try to bring up that CTE defense, where they're saying, you know, he, because of the punches he's taken throughout his career and everything like that, that it led him to do this. He wasn't in his right mind, blah, blah, blah. You know, so, yeah, man, it's not good. Not good at all. So, and the death penalty, I believe in Puerto Rico, is abolished. I believe they did that in 1926, if I'm not mistaken. That being said, though, it's not abolished for federal crimes, and this would mandate a federal crime from what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
So the death penalty is not off of the table here.
I heard they do the injections. Like they keep, you know, the
lethal
injections,
yeah.
Lethal injections, yeah.
Well, I guarantee you, whatever they do is going to be a lot better than what he did to her. You know?
That's awful.
It's
that
awful.
So sad.
And that girl had a diamond tattoo on the back of her neck. That's how they identified her, too. They had dental records in that tattoo on the back. She had a... whatchamacallit, a diamond tattooed on her, the back of her neck, which, of course, is Felix Verdejo's nickname, Diamante, Diamond, whatever. So the two knew each other since middle school. Can you imagine that? I don't know, man.
Why would he do that?
It's something like when you're that far into something, and that's what you think of is your only option out. I don't get it. I guess
she went to his wife and just told the wife everything, and he just snapped.
Yeah, I think so. Or
then his wife filed for divorce.
Yeah, that's what I heard too. Is his wife filed for divorce or whatever? Max said he was rather calculated for a guy suffering from CTE. I agree, 100%. That case is real flimsy for the defense, man. And I don't know as a defender how you take that as far as how you navigate that. I don't know.
He's not getting off.
No. Sometimes, with the defense cases and stuff, you understand the defense that they bring up. You may not agree with it all the time, but you understand the defense they bring up. But sometimes I think you're presented with unwinnable cases.
Just not logical.
Yeah, just unwinnable cases, man.
It's just not logical here, the defense.
No. Yeah, I'll be interested. I'll be interested to see how the case flow, comes out and everything like that. But it's not looking good for Felix Verdejo here, man. It really isn't.
Not at all.
So there you go. This is from Mike Coppinger, so take it for what it's worth. Ruiz and Areola generates between 125,000 and 150,000 pay-per-view buys. Let's see here. At $49.99, the final number could approach 150,000. The fight was Ruiz's first since being on the zone with Anthony Joshua. Beebe, this isn't a good number. 150,000, 125,000. I don't care whatever number you want to take. Neither one of them is good. This is an awful. It was an awful pay per view card. It was an awful pay per view. Just an awful main event. I mean, listen, man, the fight was good. Okay, the fight itself was good. It was not pay-per-view good. This was not a pay-per-view caliber fight.
No. You know, it's funny because we had our opinions on DAZN.
Yeah.
Right? And I asked myself, how is it going to be sustainable? How are they going to do this? But you know what's funny? I'm starting to like the zone more and more and more as time goes on because they continue to improve. Where this pay-per-view model continues to get worse. It continues to deteriorate because we keep seeing, more events that are just not good, and we're having to pay top dollar for these events that aren't good. But then you flip to the zone and you're getting like. You can watch, like, when you watch those UK cards, you can watch the whole card from top to bottom. You can watch, like, 6 to 8 fights, okay? And at least five to six of those fights are going to be pretty good. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But when you're paying $50, $60 for these pay-per-views, you're getting 4 fights, and only one of them is not even good. It's just decent, and the other 3 are very uneventful.
Yeah.
I think the zone is really, the zone gets it. I think they get it. And then seeing what we saw last night on DAZN, that main event kind of did make – I think the main event and the co-feature were pretty good. The rest of the undercard was very weak.
Yeah.
I think Lawrence Cole ruins that co-feature, but, you know, it is what it is.
I thought, you know that fight last night in – listen, man, it was – say what you want. It was on pay-per-view because it was on DAZN. I get it. That was not a 49 – I mean, that – we would have paid $80 for that, no? I would have paid for that fight if it was on pay-per-view. And,
oh, yeah, I would have paid for it.
Of course we would have paid for it. Even with that undercard, we would have paid for it.
Of course I would have.
You know, but the thing is, man, like I said, it was, you know, there. I mean, anybody would have rather watched that fight than watch a Ruiz-Ariola fight. No question.
Of course.
I mean, come on. And to put that fight on pay-per-view, you know, yeah, 120,000 was too high, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
You know. I would love to see. I tell you what, we know what I like, what I do like about DAZN, and you had mentioned it too, how they show the full card. And I would love to see the PBC go over to DAZN. I really would, because then they show the full card. Because if you've not been to a PBC show, a PBC card, I encourage everybody, once everything opens back up and you're able to do it safely, go watch a PBC card. Go, if it comes to your town or close to your town, go get tickets, go buy it. You won't be disappointed. It is action from start to finish. There's no intermissions, no breaks. The only break is for TV. Once, you know, the bout before the first television bout or whatever, but it is constant action. I remember we went to an HBO fight way back in the day and it was like an hour between fights. It was horrible.
Yeah. The DAZN production, the DAZN production's getting a little better.
Yeah, for sure. For sure it is.
And that pay-per-view production was wonderful yesterday, the ring entrances and all that.
I think it'd be great if they all went to the same venue. You know, I think it'd be great if they all went to DAZN or they all went to ESPN. They all went somewhere. And that way we can have, you know, there's not as much TV network as far as, hey, who's going to get what and who's going to get this and blah, blah, blah.
Well, let's see what Trilla does.
Well, that's the other thing. Talk to me a little about that. Before I go back to the phones here, talk to me a little about that, about Oscar De La Hoya going to Trilla or whatever.
Yeah, so there's a rumor that he's going to – because I guess the deal with DAZN's going to be up pretty soon. And I think DAZN's not too keen on De La Hoya because of what happened with the Canelo situation. And you got to really think about this. Like, De La Hoya did not only lie to Canelo, he lied to DAZN too.
For sure.
So that damages their relationship. When you can't trust, you know, one of your business partners or someone that you have a partnership with, then you can't have a healthy relationship or a healthy business relationship with that person. So I think from what I heard is that the DAZN's not really happy with the Golden Boy cards, and you know their deal is going to be up soon, and Golden Boy fights may be on Trilla now. That's the rumor, but it kind of does make sense.
Well, you know, and I tell you what, if I'm DAZN, I'm not happy at all that he's going on Triller and promoting himself and, you know, his promotion and everything like that when he's supposed to be signed to us.
Yeah, and, I mean, if you're DAZN, what do you really, like, what is Golden Boy have? They have Virgil Ortiz and they have Ryan Garcia. Okay, but
where are those fighters at? I tell you, where are the Golden Boy fighters at? I haven't seen them in years. But you know, I mean, think about it. Like, where are those guys at? They're not on DAZN. Where are they?
But Ryan Garcia, you know, he's still has to fight the big fights.
Mm-hmm.
Virgil Ortiz still needs time to get better. He's not, you know.
They're both gone. Once they had a contract, they're both gone.
Virgil Ortiz could get picked up by – I could see Virgil Ortiz getting picked up by someone like Top Rank. I don't think PBC will take him because they have enough welterweights.
Yeah. I hope Garcia doesn't go to Top Rank. I hope he goes somewhere where he's going to fight and they can put fights together for him.
Sure. Sure.
Area code 515. This is Iowa. Iowa, I think. 515, you're live.
I think last night was one of Canelo's most dominant performances. A little bit.
Who are we talking
Canelo
to?
Bias. Chandler. I predicted the Ortiz
Chandler
upset like 2 years ago. I was like the only person on your show that was given a shot, and it pulled through, and he upset Joshua. I don't know if you guys remember that, but
I remember it. I remember it like it was yesterday.
Yep. But I think last night was one of Canelo's most dominant performances. I only had Saunders winning the fifth and the seventh like Beeb. I don't even think it was close. I thought he was just controlling the ring too well.
He looked good. I mean, it was an impressive win for him, I'll tell you that. It was a real impressive win to knock out that guy who had never been knocked out, never lost, and at that level, at that championship level. I mean, you can't really ask for much more, can you?
No, and I think when he fights Caleb Plant, it's going to be over and under five. I'm calling it right now. I think Plant's not that good of a fighter. He's fought nobody. He's like Demetrius Andrade. You know, their resumes are absolutely terrible. Who was the last guy Caleb Plant fought? Fucking Caleb Truax. And he looked subpar in that performance. It's
nobody
true,
likes
buddy.
Him.
Everybody hates Caleb Plant, man.
Everyone's got like a dartboard at the house with Caleb Plant.
I know. Everybody
right
hates
now.
That dude, man. I love him, man.
No, I like his story
that's
and
Eric's,
everything, you know.
That's Eric's friend.
He's got a good story. But
that's Eric's friend.
He's just not that good of a fighter. He's got frail hands. He never throws. He claims to be slick, but
you know why
really,
I hate him?
Because
he's dating that. He's married to that one girl everybody likes, that Jordan Hardy girl. You know who I'm talking about, Beeb?
Yeah, Jordan Hardy's kind of cool. He'd be an announcer, yeah. Like
yeah,
him.
Yeah.
Like her.
That's why people hate him.
You know, but I thought in Canelo's post-fight thing, he made a good point. You know, everybody's calling him out, but they're afraid to fight each other. Like, I think if Canelo steps in with Charlo, Andrade, I think he even knocks out Beterbiev because Beterbiev's, what, 38, 39 years old right now? I don't think anybody's
yeah.
going to give him a problem.
Yeah, he's getting up there, Beterbiev.
Yeah, he sure is. Sure is.
I mean, you got to take a step back and look. Like, everybody thinks, you know, Beterbiev's the fucking 179 Gennady Golovkin. But if you look at his last stuff, I mean, same thing. He hasn't fought anybody. He's getting old. So when Canelo moves up, knocks him out, everybody's going to say, oh, Beterbiev was too old, you know. Nobody's just giving credit where credit's due. Like, I didn't have Canelo losing the first Triple G fight. I thought it was a draw or Canelo won. If you look back at it, turn the commentary off, Triple G really wasn't doing anything. He was just using a jab, you know, not landing anything powerful. People forget that boxing is the art of fucking hitting while not getting hit, and that's exactly what Canelo is doing right now. And I think he's only 30. He's got 4 years of being in his prime, and then he's done. He said he's not going to fight past 35. So I think there's just a lot of biased hate out there right now.
Yeah, I think I tell you what. I thought Triple G won the first fight. I think we had the second fight a draw, but I couldn't make a case for Triple G winning the second fight. I don't want to see a third fight because that was the other thing. Like, if he doesn't get Caleb Plant, that's where they want to go is to fight Triple G at 168. I don't want to see that fight, man. That's crazy.
Triple G's so
that's
shot
a horrible
now.
Fight. Yeah, he's not the same fighter, man.
I don't really even want to see a Charlo fight because I know it's going to be over so fast.
I wouldn't mind seeing a Charlo fight because Charlo's held titles. He's fought good people. Something different, right?
Korobov.
Yeah, a lot of people thought he lost to Korobov.
Name another fighter he's fought besides Korobov.
I think Derevchenko's pretty decent, but he has a thin resume too. Yeah, he does have a thin resume.
I mean,
but again, when you're Canelo, you can fight anybody. You know, you got to give people a shot. You know, I see what he's saying, but I mean, you got to give people a shot. Everybody's, you know, nobody they haven't fought anybody until they fight somebody. You know.
Yeah, but I mean, the same thing was said about Billy Joe, though. Everybody's like, oh, he's going to have trouble with the slick southpaw. What happened? Billy Joe got his fucking face busted.
Yeah, but I mean, you're looking at the best fighter on the planet right now, though. You know
oh,
what I mean?
Yeah,
you'd be hard pressed to. Who could beat Canelo right now? David Benavidez, maybe. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, well,
better
I,
be maybe.
I think Benavidez gets stopped in seven.
What's that?
I think David Benavidez gets stopped in seven if he fights Canelo.
Yeah, I mean, so I mean, who else can? I mean. We're naming all these guys Canelo can beat. We get it, but the thing is, like, he's got to fight somebody. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but I would favor anybody he steps in. I mean, anybody he steps in the ring, he's going to be favorite. What's that?
No, I agree with you, but I think all those other guys, they need to fight each other because every single one of them, like last night, They're just looking for a payday. Canelo even called fucking Demetrius out on that. He just wants a payday. Nobody.
Yeah, that's what he said, yeah.
Actual boxing knowledge. Everybody knows Demetrius Andrade is going to get stopped. He just wants the payday.
Yeah. You know, I don't give Andrade much of a shot in that fight anymore. I used to think Andrade was going to be, you know, like a real, you know, like a real good champion and stuff like that, and really go pretty far as to be one of those guys. But yeah, his he just never really kind of reached that whole potential, I think.
No, I don't think he did either.
No. All right, Chandler, we're going to get running, man. We appreciate it. Let's go to area code 602. 602, you're live.
Yo, Eric, what's up? It's Brandon from Phoenix. Can you guys hear me?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Yo, man, chilling, man. Enjoying Mother's Day. What's going on, B? Shout out to you guys, man. Just enjoying Mother's Day, kicking back, having a little scotch, listening to the show. I couldn't wait to talk to you guys, man.
Nice, man.
Hey, man.
Nice.
You know, it was another this was a tight performance by Canelo. And when I say tight, I mean this was a close fight, in my opinion. I thought by the time the stoppage went down, it was probably almost an even fight. You could have had Canelo up by a round or two, but you know, I was impressed, man. I was impressed by Canelo's power in this fight. You know, him knocking out Kovalev at the end of that fight. Okay, you know, that's an old man. You know, you can say those kind of things, but Saunders was fresh, and the way that Canelo hit him this time was like it was a competitive fight to one punch, and then it was no longer a competitive fight. You know what I'm saying? And
yeah,
I was impressed by that. I did think Canelo got a little sloppy in the middle round, and he was swinging for the fences a little too much. I thought Saunders probably should have fought a little bit more on his toes and a little bit more off the back foot. But I know that Saunders felt he probably had to apply a little bit of pressure to get the judges on his side. And I just want to talk about the undercard real quick. I didn't think that was a competitive fight, man. I thought Soto was kicking that guy's ass. Now, I thought the stoppage was bad, but I didn't think there was a competitive fight that the DAZN announcers were trying to make it out to be. Am I alone on that?
No, you're right. But here's the thing.
Thank you.
They were scoring the round. I think Mannix gave him one round, and Karl Froch gave the Japanese guy two rounds. But then you had Grisham, whatever, Scott Grisham saying, oh, this is a close fight. How is it a close fight? Just, you know, just because a guy's having a few moments in the rounds, but he's still losing the rounds, it don't mean the fight's close. I just don't get it. You know what I mean? Like, when you watch the zone, every fight they say is close. No matter what's going on, oh, this fight's close. It's not.
Thank you, Beef. I was screaming at my kids. I was screaming at my kids. Like, this guy has no pop in his shot. He looks like he weighs 20 less than this other guy. This isn't a fair fight. And Soto said it from the beginning. I mean, from the first round, he was hitting him when he was hurting him when he touched him. So I just didn't understand why they were trying to hype this up like this was a close competitive fight when it was never that. It was a bad stoppage by Cole. I wouldn't expect nothing else. You know, Lawrence Cole was on brand once again. But, you know, I just wanted to just get some confirmation from you guys about that. Thank you very much. As far as the next
fight. You most certainly are welcome for it. I'll give it to you anytime you need it.
Thank you. The next fight for Canelo being Caleb Plant, I like it. You know, my problem with some of these PBC guys and not even the PBC guys. I shouldn't say that because I think Andre falls in the same category. You know, Andre's got to fight somebody. Caleb Plant's got to fight somebody. And Benavidez has got to fight somebody. You know, none of these guys.
Caleb Plant's got the title, though. I mean,
yeah,
Caleb Plant's got the title. That's what Canelo wants. It doesn't matter. He's got the title. He's going to fight him because that's the unification. That's the unification. That's the final piece of the unification.
No.
No, I get it, but what I'm saying
that.
Is,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Eric.
No, we're not defending the resume.
No. I'm just saying that's the final piece of the puzzle. That's the last stone to go in that.
He just wants the belt. That's why he would.
What do they call that Thanos glove? What do they call that thing? That
Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah, it's the last stone of the Infinity Gauntlet. You know what I mean?
I got one in my closet.
I'm with y'all on that. I have
right
no
next
problem.
To deflated Lois.
I have no problem with him fighting Plant. You know what I'm saying? But I'm just saying for the fans of the other boxers who were, you know, in the shuffle or, you know, have a potential shot at getting a shot at Canelo, you know, these guys haven't done anything. None of them. You know, it'd be nice if they would have just fought each other at one point or another so we could point to that guy and say, oh, that guy deserves a shot at Canelo. You know what I'm saying? But that is what boxing is in 2021. You know what I'm saying? It is what it is. Now, I have a question I want to pose to you guys before my phone dies here real quick. Do you mind if I talk about this esports boxing game that's getting ready to come out here in the next couple months or year or whatever it is?
No, go ahead.
Okay. The roster, to me, it's a long, long roster, and they got some big names. And this game isn't being made by a big gaming company. So I'm really wondering where they're getting the money from to license these fighters. And I don't, you know, next time you guys interview somebody, maybe you could get some of the background chatter on this. I listened to Sean Porter's podcast. He said he was very happy with the business of how they're doing business to get them in there. But, I mean, if you look at the roster, the number of fighters that they have in there, getting a Terrence Crawford, getting a Sean Porter, it's a lot of people. And, I mean, no EA game, which is probably the biggest, you know, at least it's the biggest sports gaming company out there, probably let alone one of the biggest gaming companies out there. I mean, it is a publicly traded company. They never had a roster like this. You know what I mean? In a climate where there's no competition, these guys have really gone above and beyond. I don't know if it's just fighters, you know, doing it for the love. You know what I'm saying? Especially some of these younger fighters or fighters that don't have a high profile. But they got some decently high-profile guys in there, and I just wonder, or I would like to speculate on where do they get this money from? Are they getting sponsored with maybe in-game ads? I don't know. What do you guys think?
No, I don't think. I tell you what, I'm going to go ahead and I'll answer it. I'm going to put you on hold, and I'll go ahead and answer that. I don't think, and you've heard about this, Beeb, as well. I don't think that they're paying those fighters at all. I think what's happening is if the game takes off, they'll get royalties then. At the same time, I don't even know how they would do that. That game's, you know, EA Sports is the biggest video game, you know, sports like Brandon just said. They're the biggest one. And they couldn't get a roster like that. And there's probably a pretty good reason they couldn't get a roster like that. The other part of this is, you know, are they just using the names and then the fighters, you know, because like on EA, the fighters had traits. You know, like those guys' traits and everything like that. They'd move like them, they'd hit like them, you know, and they'd have all numbers assigned to them and everything. Will this be the same thing? Will this just be kind of a shell with just the name and a guy looks like him and they fight? Everybody fights the same way? I don't know. But there's no way, I would venture to say there's no possible way they could pay those guys right now. I've never heard of this company. I've never heard of, and that doesn't mean anything, but I don't know how many video games they got out, how many times they've done this business. I honestly think it's probably like, hey, if you let us do it and it's done something on our second game, we'll start paying you. I think it might be something like that, like a promise down the road or something like that. That's my feeling on it. Before we go to 267 in Philadelphia, one quick comment here. Chandler M says he's the 515 caller. He says that Kambosos is going to upset Lopez, Teofimo Lopez. Son, let me tell you what, I will take that bet any day of the week.
Yeah.
There is no chance. I don't even think that fight goes the distance. Do you, Beeb?
No, I don't, no.
Yeah.
No.
I don't think that goes the distance either.
No disrespect to Kambosos. I saw him. Who did I see him fight? The guy that I saw him fight. And I wasn't overly impressed with him.
Yeah, what are we doing? Chandler M said, let's bet. What do you want, a pie bet? Let's do a pie bet. Can you do that? Because we can do that. I can for sure do that. You're going to bet that Kambosos wins the fight. We'll just win it straight up?
Yeah, he fought Lee Selby, I think. I didn't think he looked good in that Lee Selby fight.
Lee Selby's a good fighter, though, but he's not Teofimo, though. You know what I mean? Yeah, Chandler M., if you want to do a pie bet, I'm all in. I'm all in, and I take Teofimo to win that fight. No questions. Area code 267, Philadelphia, you're live.
What's up, guys?
How are you, man? Who are we speaking to?
Philly Irish, Drew Evo.
Hey, what's going on?
What's up, Joe? How you doing, man?
What's up, brother? Nice to hear from you again. This is the other guy that picked Billy Joe Saunders, Eric.
This is the guy. Okay, I saw. Yeah, I saw you. He tweeted me out. He sent me like your profile. He said this is the other guy that picked Billy Joe Saunders. So, all right.
Hey, I didn't care what anybody said. I was making my pick, but like, he lost the fight. But like, to be honest, I had him up at the stoppage. It was a close fight. I have like 77-75 Billy Joe, but the thing is, he made a habit of ducking his head the whole time. He was eventually going to get caught with an uppercut. I said he's going to eventually get caught with an uppercut if he keeps doing it. But he did. But now, I don't believe the Kale Plant fight's going to happen next. I think there's going to be some type of loophole that prevents that fight from happening. Kale Plant might want more money, or you know, it's going to be something that makes sure that fight doesn't happen. And, like, if that fight doesn't happen, why not entertain the idea of Al fighting Demetrius Andre or Bivol? They're both at Matchroom, and they'll be easier fights to make.
Yeah, that's possible. That's possible.
And I heard someone talking about Benavidez. Benavidez be easy work for Canelo. He has no inside game whatsoever. He relies on his reach, and most of his power comes because of his reach. And Canelo is a small, undersized super middleweight. He can get right inside Benavidez the whole time and body him the whole night and eventually get a stoppage.
There you go. There you go. All right, my man, we're going to get running, man. We appreciate the call.
Thanks,
let's see here. Okay, so Chandler M. Doesn't know what a pie bet is. Okay, Christian Leacock, get your mind out of the gutter.
That's gross.
Yeah. Anywho, all right, so basically what a pie bet is, if I lose, and if you watch the show before, you know how this goes. If I lose, I'll take a pie to the face right on TV, okay? Right on the camera, I'll take a pie to the face right at the top of the show or whenever in the show. Now, when Beeb loses, he takes like a little, like a hostess pie and just pats his nose with it. It's
I almost got a
pie.
Concussion. I almost got a concussion the last time I stuck the pie in my face. It was so big and hard.
That's what she said.
That didn't come out right. I just put my foot in my mouth. Shit.
That was great. So if Chandler M, if basically what happens, so if you lose, you'll videotape yourself or whatever, and you'll send it to one of us, or you can put it on YouTube, and then we'll play it on here, you smashing a pie in your face or whatever. So that's how they work.
Yeah.
And he says, pie bet deal on, perfect. So when Teofimo Lopez, I've got Teofimo Lopez to win. Doesn't matter if he wins by stoppage or KO or whatever or by decision. Man, make it Apple, too. There you go. All right, yeah. I tell you what, you can call out the name of it. That's fine, too. It'll be Apple. I'll do an apple pie if he loses. I feel pretty safe, though. So
I had a banana cream. I had a banana cream last time I lost.
That you did. Was that foot big and hard, too? He put it right in his face, son.
I locked myself right into that one. that was like Tyson Fury punching himself in the face. That's what I just did.
Oh, that was great, man. That was great. All right, guys, that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1. Find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. You can catch me on Twitter at ringside73.